الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد We continue our discussion of the manners of seeking the knowledge. And we have discussed many qualities that should, that the seeker of knowledge should try to satisfy and we cover the total of 13 qualities and we have just a little bit left to cover of what is mentioned in this small book by Bakr Abu Zayd, Hulyat al-Talib al-Ilm or Hulyat al-Talib al-Ilm. The last one we discovered was At-Tahalli bil-Rifq, which means that the seeker of knowledge should be kind, should beautify himself with the quality of rifq, of kindness. He should avoid using rough or hard words because soft words and the kind manner of talking to people brings them closer, even for those who are normally hard to control. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم, which means respond with that which is better, so that one who there is a hatred between you and him becomes like a very close friend. And there are many other evidences regarding this from the book and the sunnah. So it is important to beautify oneself with rifq, and I think we discussed in our last meeting the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha with the Jews when she cursed them, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, told her and instructed her that ما كان الرفق في شيء إلا زانه وما نزع من شيء إلا شانه. Rifq, kindness of words and attitude, was never put in something but it made it look better, and was never removed from something but made it look worse. So the next quality discussed here is التأمل. التأمل, which means to contemplate or to think carefully about what you are doing and what you are saying. فإن من تأمل أدرك, the one who contemplates will understand and realize what he's doing. وقيل تأمل تدرك, فعليه فتأمل عند التكلم بماذا تتكلم وما هي عائدته. So when you want to speak, contemplate and think carefully about what you are about to say and what will be the result of it, the outcome of it. وتحرز في العبارة والأداء, and be careful in what statement you use and the way you present it. وتحرز في العبارة والأداء دون تعنت أو تحذلق, without trying to look, you know, to sound very smart or to be too harsh in the way you, or too stubborn in the way that you present your statements. وتأمل عند المذاكرة كيف تختار القالب المناسب للمعنى المراد. And also, when studying or discussing with others, think carefully and contemplate on how you would select the, the proper. The proper casing or envelope in which you put your words and statements so that you would reach the proper meaning, which means when you are studying for yourself or somebody else, learn how to put your thoughts into good words, so that when you talk to others later on, you will not reflect the wrong meanings or ideas. وتأمل عند سؤال السائل كيف تتفهم السؤال على وجهه حتى لا يحتمل وجهين وهكذا. Also, when somebody asks you a question, contemplate on his question. Make sure that you understand the question properly, so that it would not, when you answer him, your answer would not be taken to mean one of two meanings, and so on. So be careful, which means, you know, in any action that you take related to your seeking the knowledge or later on conveying the knowledge that you sought, you should be like a person who is walking in a dark place and who wants to make sure that he doesn't put his foot except in a safe and on safe and firm land. So every time you raise your foot to put it somewhere, make sure that you put it in a firm place, and then the next foot, and so on. So that's what he means by ta'amul. Contemplate on your actions, be careful and thorough in doing them the proper way. And finally, he mentions al-thabat wa al-tathabbut. Al-thabat, firmness, wa al-tathabbut, to make sure of what you hear or what you understand. تحلى بالثبات والتثبت لا سيما في الملمات والمهمات, especially in the hard and serious situations. ومنه الصبر والثبات في التلقي, and among that is to be patient and firm, steadfast in seeking and taking the knowledge. وطي الساعات في الطلب على الأشياخ, and to spend hours on hours in seeking the knowledge from the scholars. فَإِنَّ مَنْ ثَبَتَ نَبَتْ, as they say, because the one who is firm will grow, which means will grow in knowledge. If somebody wants the knowledge to come to him and he is sitting like somebody putting a spoon into his mouth to pour the knowledge into it, then he will never reach except a certain level, and that's it. Whenever somebody is, you know, beneficent to him or charitable to him to give him something, he will take it and might benefit from it. But the one who really will benefit and grow fast is the one who will be aggressive in seeking the knowledge. He'll go and spend the time with the scholars and try his best to learn from this one and this one and this one and so on. So this is this covers the first part of this book, which is Adab al-Talib fi Nafsi, the manners of what manners should be satisfied in the one who is seeking the knowledge, or what manners he should satisfy in himself. That is, he himself, what qualities should be present in him to seek the knowledge. Now, there are other chapters in this book which discuss other matters. The next chapter is كيفيه الطلب والتلقي. He gives a practical proposal of how to seek the knowledge and what are the levels of seeking the knowledge. That will include, for example, which books to learn, start from, and to seek the knowledge from, and how to go about learning properly, and how to seek the knowledge from the scholars, and which and the importance of seeking the knowledge from scholars instead of being independent and seeing the knowledge by oneself. And then after that, the next chapter is about the adab, or the manners that the seeker of knowledge should satisfy with his sheikh, with his teacher, how he should, you know, seek the knowledge from him, what kind of which sheikhs he should have, and how to deal with them. And then the next chapter he has is about the manners that one should satisfy in dealing with his friends and companions who are studying the knowledge with him. It's a very short chapter. And then after that, the adab, or the manner that the seeker of knowledge should have in his life as a seeker of knowledge. So other than, this is an addition to the qualities that one should have, you know, like like instinctive almost characters in himself. In addition, he should have some qualities related specifically to seeking the knowledge, and that is what is discussed in that chapter, and we can cover them quickly now, inshallah. And then after that, at-tahalli bil-amal, which means to act upon the knowledge, and not to be a lazy bum, as they say it. So to have the honor, to have the feeling of honor, that he does not want to be to rely on others when he's a seeker of knowledge, but he wants to be independent of people by working and also by acting upon his knowledge, so that he would earn his living and also he would set establish the knowledge that he learned by action. And finally, he gives the last chapter of this book is about warnings, what things a person should avoid when he is seeking the knowledge. Okay, so now we go over آداب طالب العلم في حياته العلمية, what manners or characters should be present or satisfied in the one who seeks the knowledge in relation to his seeking the knowledge in his life as a seeker of knowledge. And he mentions several characters. First, كبر الهمة في العلم, which means he should have the strong determination in seeking the knowledge. And second, النهمة في الطلب, النهمة في الطلب, which means he should be like hungry in seeking of the knowledge. He should be like a hungry person who jumps over the food. So that's how he should be running after the knowledge. And الرحلة في طلب العلم, which means he should travel in seeking the knowledge, which means he should exert efforts in seeking the knowledge, as we said earlier, and not expect that the knowledge will just come to him while he's sitting in his house. And next, حفظ العلم كتابة, which means he should record the knowledge by writing. He should preserve the knowledge by writing, because that is how, you know, the knowledge would be preserved. Otherwise, people would just listen and remember things and forget other things. But when they write down, they will remember more, and also all what they hear will be preserved in what they wrote. And then, حفظ الرعاية, which means, he means by this is that حفظ الرعاية is preserving the, I don't know how to translate it actually. رعاية means to take care of something, and حفظها means to preserve that, preserve the caretaking of things. And by this he is referring specifically to taking care of this knowledge by that he one attains by acting upon it and by adhering to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what he learned. And then تعاهد المحفوظات, which means he should work on memorizing things, on memorizing things. And he is referring to the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim reported by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إنما مثل صاحب القرآن كمثل صاحب الإبل المعلقة إن عاهد عليها أمسكها وإن طلقها ذهبت. Which means the honor, the example of the one who carries the Quran, which means who memorizes the Quran, is like the one who has tied camels. So if he is careful about them, which means he's careful that they remain tied and so on, then he will keep them. And if he is not careful, which means he lets them go loose, then they will go away, they will be lost. So, and the scholars, as Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah says, that this gives a dalil that the one who does not memorize the knowledge, take care of memorizing it, then it will go away from him. And at that time, that was, the knowledge was the Quran, but later on it became much more than that, which means added to the Quran were the other things, the Sunnah and the other types of knowledge that derive from them or relate to them. And then the next that he mentions is التفقه بتخريج الفروع على الأصول, which means to gain the understanding of the knowledge by relating the specific cases to the general or fundamental cases. Okay, تخريج الفروع على الأصول. So you have the general rules or the general cases or the foundation, the fundamental rules, and all the furu' or the branches should be related to these foundations. And then the next one is al-luju' ila Allah ta'ala fi al-talab wa al-tahsil, is that one should turn to Allah Azza wa Jal deliberately and sincerely, asking him and requesting from him to enable one to seek the knowledge and to gather it. And the next one is al-amanatu al-ilmiyya, which means one should have the honesty of knowledge, which means that usually this refers to relate and report to each person what he has done, and not to claim things that others have done and attribute them to himself, because this is a kind of dishonesty and stealing, even though it is not material, but it is stealing and it could be turned into a material theft in our time. But one should preserve the knowledge preserve the amana, the honesty, so that he would not steal knowledge from others. And as Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحَبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا, what is the beginning of this? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْرَحُونَ بِمَا أَتَوْا وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّهُم بِمَفَازَةٍ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who are يفرحون بما أتوا. When they do something, they become arrogant about it. Look how they did. They start boasting about it. ويحبون أن يحمدوا بما لم يفعلوا. And they like or love to be praised for things that they did not do. Then do not think that they will be secure from the punishment, and they will have a severe punishment. ولهم عذاب أليم. And then he mentions صدق, truthfulness, which means one should be truthful in his actions and in his words. This we mentioned, the character of Siddiq in relation to the character that should be present in the person himself, like an innate quality in the person who is seeking the knowledge. And here he is also mentioning it in relation to his seeking the knowledge, that is in his learning and so on. He should be, his actions should be truthful as well. Not only that he himself should be truthful, also his actions related to seeking knowledge. And then he mentioned the thing that the shelter of the seeker of knowledge. The shelter of the seeker of knowledge, he mentions briefly and quickly that Jannatul Alim La Adri. The protection of the scholar is to say, I do not know. وَيَهْتِكُ حِجَابَهَا الْإِسْتِنْكَافُ مِنْهَا. And it is, what is against it or what destroys it is to turn away from it, not to approach it, which means for someone who thinks that he knows everything, and whenever somebody asks him, he wants to give an answer. This would be terrible. So the protection of the scholar is to say, لا أدري. So that is why it is said by the scholars that نصف العلم لا أدري. Half of the knowledge is to say I do not know, which means to know what you know and what you do not know. And when you ask about something that you do not know, not to be ashamed to say I do not know. That's the half of the knowledge. To know your limits, that is, gives you half of the knowledge. فنصف الجهل يقال وأظن. And if this is what they say, that half of the knowledge is to say I do not know, then half of ignorance is to say I think, and it is, I have heard it, somebody say so and so. This is terrible too, because, and we have seen it in many places. You know, I've been in places, I've witnessed some masajid here in this country where they have a tafsir class or halqa, and it's a bunch of, you know, self-acclaimed people like medical doctors and professors and things like that, and they sit down to make tafsir of the Quran, and each one of them says, well, I think this means, after they read an ayah, I think this means so and so. And the second person says, no, I think it means so and so. And the third says, no, I think it means so and so, and so on. So they base there what they say on I think and I assume and so on, which is terrible, because they are claiming things about this knowledge, the knowledge of Allah that Allah sent to us, things without knowledge. And then the next quality that he mentions here is al-muhafazatu ala ra'si malik sa'atu umrik, which means you should be careful or preserve, look after your principle. And like your principle of material principle is the money that you have, your principle in seeing the knowledge is sa'at umrik, the hours of your life, which means you should not waste your time in things that contradict seeking the knowledge. قال أسامة بن منقذ قال أسامة بن منقذ مع الثمانين عاث الضعف في جسدي وساءني ضعف رجلي واضطراب يدي. إذا كتبت فخطي خط مضطرب كخط مرتعش الكفين مرتعدي، فأعجب لضعف يدي عن حملها قلما من بعد حمل القنا في لبة الأسد. فقل لمن يتمنى طول مدته هذه عواقب طول العمر والمدد. He's bringing four lines of poetry said by a person called Usama bin Munqidh, in which he said that when I reached the 80 years, then my body became weak, my feet became weak, my hand, when I write with shaking hand, and I'm surprised how my hands have become weak in carrying the pen, when they used to be strong in the past in carrying the spears and the fighting and fighting the strong enemies. So tell anyone who hopes to live long that this is what happens after long age. So basically what he's saying here is that you should realize that as you grow older you become weaker, and therefore weaker in all respects, and therefore one should make benefit of his early years and his time to learn more of the beneficent knowledge. And the next character he mentions here is Ijmam al-Nafs, which means to give breaks to yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself without giving it breaks at all, but give it from time to time, give it a break so that it will become fresh again and ready to seek more knowledge. Just like, you know, you need to sleep for the body to rest, also you need some rest for the mind before it's ready to seek more knowledge. Okay. You should learn to ask good questions to the scholars, and you should ask to learn, not to, you know, test or to show how much you know or things like that. Because some people ask a question just because they learned something, they read something, and they want to see if this scholar or teacher knows what they have just learned. So it's not for the sake of seeking the knowledge, but for the sake of testing him or for appearing smart in front of the other students or listeners. So this is not the good way of asking the question. The good way is to ask a question relevant to the discussion and to ask it with the intention of tafaqquh, of understanding, and not ta'annut, which means just to show off or things like that. The seeker of the knowledge should get used to going into the big or large and extensive books, Jardul Mutawwalat, and not expect that all the knowledge he can get from little booklets. So he should get used to going into those great books written by the great scholars of the Ummah. He should review the knowledge. So when one seeks the knowledge, he should review it and review it and review it, and not think that once, if he heard it once, then that's it. It is well established in his mind. Reviewing helps the mind become more sharp and improves the memory and so on. And then living between the book and the sunnah and the knowledge based on them, which means this is what the person should spend his time in, instead of wasting it in useless types of knowledge. And then istikmalu adawati kulli fan, which means he should perfect the knowledge or the necessary parts of knowledge for every subject. Like if he wants to learn grammar, then he should, or Arabic, he should learn the details of the grammar to be able to be strong in that part, and then of fiqh, of hadith, and so on, so that his knowledge will be strong from all respects, from all sides. As Allah says, الَّذِينَ أَتَيْنَاهُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, those whom we have given them the book, they read it in the proper way, which means in the perfected way, which means they have perfected all what is needed to read it properly. There are a couple more things that he mentions here, but I found that probably one actually that I didn't mention. So inshallah, we with this meeting we try to summarize the discussion regarding the manners of seeking knowledge, and we have discussed this previously with another group of brothers, mostly they were different, and it took us like 3.5 hours, but there was a lot of repetition and easy slow discussion, so that every time we reviewed a lot of what we discussed on the previous times. So inshallah today then we can wrap up this subject, the subject of the manners of seeking the knowledge. And to start with, I would say that there are scholars who have written books on this subject because of the importance of seeking the knowledge, and this is the reason why we are sitting together, because we want to seek the knowledge and we need to learn some of the etiquettes, some of the manners that we should observe in our seeking of the knowledge of the deen. So the scholars have written books, as I said, to direct their students and those who want to seek the knowledge on how to, or what they should do in order for their seeking of the knowledge to be most fruitful. What we have done before is we have, our main reference in the discussion was Hulyatu Talib al-Ilm by Shaykh Bakr Abu Zayd. We covered most of it, and as I explained or mentioned to some of the brothers, there is actually a detailed explanation of this booklet by on tape by Sheikh Saleh Al-Athaymeen. I don't know how many tapes now, I don't remember, probably about 12 tapes or 16 tapes which cover this subject. But we are not going, we did not go in the past, and we will not go now over everything in it, but inshallah we will highlight some of the important points in this book. And also there is another book that I have in my hand, and this I'll go over it quickly, which is called برنامج علمي للمتفقهين, which means a scholarly schedule or a program, scholarly program for those who are seeking to, the understanding of the deen, the fiqh of the deen. And this is by Abdul Aziz Al-Qari, who is an associate teacher or an associate professor in Jamia Islamiyah in Medina at the time when this book was written. And there's a third booklet or book called Adabu Talib al-Ilm, the etiquettes or the manners for the seeker of knowledge, by Muhammad Raslan. There are many others, but these were accessible, and I found that it's good to select few points from each of them and inshallah give this as an overview for the whole subject. I will start with the second one that I mentioned by Abdul Aziz Al-Qari, and here he mentions 8 different rules for seeking the knowledge. And since these overlap with many of what we have mentioned before, therefore this will help also be like a review for the subject inshallah. So the rules that he mentions, he says that first The first rule of seeking knowledge, قاعدة الأولى, تصحيح النية في التعلم, that one should have sincerity in seeking the knowledge, which means the knowledge should be sought for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely for that purpose, not for any other purpose, not for the purpose of people praising the person, or he earning more money by it, or getting higher positions and things like that. This should never be, the intention should never be to attain any worldly gains. The intention in seeking the knowledge is to please Allah Azza wa Jal, to learn, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, is to learn the better how to please Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the first rule, that we should have sincerity in seeking the knowledge. And the second rule is that the first thing that a Muslim should learn is the knowledge of Iman and the understanding of Ahkam. I mean, we do not have to agree 100% with everything that this scholar says, but it helps be as a guide for us, of course. So I say the first thing is that one should learn the fiqh of Iman, the knowledge of the first thing, fiqh al-Iman, the knowledge of Iman, which means start with the first, with the most important things first. Don't waste your time with the branches before you deal with the foundation. So that is fiqh al-Iman, means tawheed, and fiqh al-Ahkam, or the knowledge of Ahkam, means how to conduct your worship, your acts of worship, in a correct way. And the third rule is that in seeking, which means, you know, the second rule is that we should get busy with the most important things first. That's what it is. So don't get busy with the lesser things. Do the aham, as the poet said, al-ilmu in talabtahu kathiru, وَالْعُمْرُ عَنْ تَحْصِيلِهِ قَصِيرُ فَقَدِّمِ الْأَهَمَّ مِنْهُ فَالْأَهَمُ, which means علم, knowledge, if you want to seek it, it's huge, it's very great, very vast. وَالْعُمْرُ عَنْ تَحْصِيلِهِ قَصِيرُ, and the lifetime in regards to pursuing it is short. فَقَدِّمِ الْأَهَمَّ مِنْهُ فَالْأَهَمُ, so put forward the most important, then the next most important of it, which means seek the most important, then the next most important, and so on. The third rule, when you learn these things, learn them according to the guidance of the Salaf. When you learn these, learn them according to the guidance of the Salaf. So the first rule, sincerity. The second rule, get busy with the most important things first. The third, and the most important of all the most important things, is Tawheed, of course, the beliefs, and then how to properly worship our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third rule is that in our seeking this knowledge, we have the understanding of Tawheed and Ibadat and so on. We should follow the guidance of the Salaf, the early scholars of Islam. And especially in matters of Tawheed, because in matters of Tawheed, we can easily be deviated by various ways that people have followed instead of the guidance of the Salaf, instead of the guidance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their true followers. We can be influenced, for example, by the beliefs of the Shia. We can be influenced by the beliefs of the Mu'tazila and those who use the philosophical approach in their understanding of the deen. We can be influenced by the methods or the approach of the Sufis, and the Sufis themselves, they have so many numerous ways, the worst of which is the people of Hulul, who believe that Allah enters or is overlaps with everything else. like, you know, something similar to what the Christians believe regarding him, or regarding the Holy Spirit, which they believe is part of him. So the beliefs of these are examples: the Shia, the Mu'tazila, the Sufis, and so on. These are examples of people of Bid'ah who could, or there's Batiniyya, like Ismailiyya, like Nusayriyya, like Rawafid, those who have secret beliefs. They hide their beliefs, and they believe in the you know, that everything has an apparent meaning and a bottom meaning, a hidden meaning, and therefore everything to them actually is different from what you think. They read the Quran, you read an ayah, and it means something, and they explain it totally different. In this sense, like, you know, what the Shia say about إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا, Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. The Shia say this cow is Aisha. And مرج البحرين يلتقيان, he separated the two seas and they meet in one place. They say this is Fatima and Ali, and so on. So they change the meanings of everything. They say the texts have apparent meaning, but they have hidden meanings that you do not know, and only they know. So these are Batiniyya. These are called Firaq al-Batiniyya. And Firaq al-Batiniyya, each one deviated from the truth in its own way. And among them are Al-Duruz, Al-Ismailiyya, Nusayriyya, the extremes of the Shia, and so on. So when a person wants to understand his deen, he has to follow the guidance of the Salaf. This is which means search for the understanding of the Sahaba radhiallahu anhu and their true followers in regard to the knowledge of the deen. The fourth rule, and this is you know, where I disagree with the author in its regard to some degree, is that he says that in seeking the knowledge of the ibadat, you have to follow one of the four known or commonly known madhahib, and to be on the safe side, because these madhahib have been researched and the others have not been researched, like the madhahib of Imam Awza'i or Imam Sufyan al-Thawri or others. So therefore it is most safest for you to adhere to one of these madhahib in your understanding of the ibadat. This is not totally true, except for the maybe most basic or newest newcomers to the or new students of knowledge. Otherwise, as a person starts acquiring some knowledge, then he can quickly find that he can have easy access to knowledge based on the true evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the understanding of the Salaf, of the early scholars of the Sahaba and their true followers, without being biased towards any particular madhab of the four commonly known madhab. But and in that case, you know, we can change this rule to be that one also has to follow the guidance of the Salaf in seeking and understanding the rules of ahkam. Now, if all what is accessible to him is one of the four madhahib, because that is these are the only people, scholars, who are accessible to him, or the only books that he can put his hand, lay his hands on, then that is an exception. But the general rule is that one should make more effort to seek pure knowledge, not knowledge which is biased towards one direction or the other. Okay, the fifth rule is that you should beware of being rigid in dealing with other people. Rigidity and asabiyya, which means to... asabiyya, you know, like if you have an opinion, then if anybody differs with you in opinion, he becomes like your enemy, and you put your opinion as being above everything else. You should be flexible in trying to listen to them, trying to see what their point of view, what is your point of view, and then if you find that after discussion and checking the evidence, still they hold a certain position, then you cannot force them, of course. So don't be like a person who is trying to attack everyone who differs with you in the least bit. Yeah, open-minded or flexible in dealing with people who differ with you. And as you know, that this led the asabiyya, or the partyism, you can call it, in regard to madhabiyya, has caused some people to even fight each other and kill each other in the ages of decline of the Muslim Ummah a few centuries ago. So that, you know, the Hanafis will fight against the Shafi'is about certain issues that they disagree with them about, and so on. And it is interesting to see that in the ages of decline, those ages of decline, you find in some of the books of fiqh of some of these madhahib a question like, when the people of Jannah enter the Jannah, what will their madhab be in Jannah? Hanafi or Shafi or Maliki or Hanbali? And then another question they ask, when Isa comes down at the end of time, according to which madhab will he pray of the four madhahib? So they think that must be one of these four madhahib. And of course, the Shia will say he will be praying according to our madhab. The Ahnaf will say. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just came. And the others will say with our madhab, and so on. The sixth rule is to deal with the practical aspects of seeking the knowledge, and not turn. This is somewhat related to the rule that we mentioned, rule number two, which we said you put forth, or you get busy with the most important things first. So this is somewhat related to it, and we said the most important things are tawheed and fiqh, or fiqh of the to know how to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Now this is saying that don't waste the time in the impractical issues, but concentrate on the practical issues. So things which are assumptions, like what happens if such and such, or some very tiny issues, delicate issues that would be of importance, would not be of importance. I mean, would be some, you know, matters that have been discussed by some scholars for some occasion, but they are not really of much weight in the matters, in this seeking of knowledge. You find that some people waste their time on these, which of course will divert them from the more important thing, which is dealing with the more basic and important matter that they need to learn.
Which
professor
did you say this was?
Abdulaziz Al-Qari. He's professor in Medina. And then the seventh rule is to follow, he says, the ladder of seeking the knowledge, or a certain ladder of seeking the knowledge. What he means by that? He means that you have to follow. You don't assume that, for example, you can, you know, one day you do not have any knowledge, the second day you can just get the biggest book in the library, 30 volume book, and say, I want to start with this and I want to learn this subject. But you have to gradually go up from one level to the other to the other. So you have to be patient, in other words, and realize that the knowledge doesn't come all of a sudden like this, like what the Sufis, some of them say, that there is something called al-ilm al-ladunni that comes to you suddenly by making certain kinds of dhikr for a certain number of times. All of a sudden you find yourself knowledgeable about some matters that you want, that you like to learn. It doesn't come like this. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ, which means knowledge is only attained through learning. So it needs patience, it needs perseverance, and it needs that you go gradually from one level to the other to the other. And realize also your limitations. Because some people learn a little bit of knowledge and they think that they have the fullest knowledge in the world. So some people read a small book on fiqh and they start making fatawa like they are the Shaykh al-Islam. They start saying, why are you doing this? This is haram, this is halal. You are mubtada, you are fasiq, you are etc, etc. And they themselves do not know anything yet. So be very reserved about yourself in the matters of seeking the knowledge. Take it one step at a time and realize, understand that it needs patience and you have to spend the time for it before it comes to you. Needed by it for it before it comes to you. So before one gets the book Siyar A'lam Nubala, for example, which discusses the biographies of the reporters of hadith from the Sahaba down in time, and take it and start opening it and wants to verify a hadith, whether it's sahih or da'if, let him, he has before that a long road to study of how, what is the meaning of ulum al-hadith, how, what is the study the basic books of ulum al-hadith, then the more advanced, then the more advanced Muqaddimat ibn al-Salah, then more advanced, then more advanced, and sit with the scholars of knowledge, see how of hadith, see how they make their judgments on the hadith. Then at that point you probably are at a level where you can pick that book and check the narrators in it and see if this hadith is authentic or not. And the last rule that he gives is that try your best to seek the knowledge of each subject from its people and to get it from the highest people available in that field. Mm-hmm. So go to the Akabir rather than the Asagir, which means if you can reach the higher level scholars, don't go to those who are lesser than them in seeking the knowledge. Because you know the big scholars, they have many students under them, and these students differ among themselves. And if you learn some from some of them, his knowledge will not agree with the other one or the third one. So, but if you go to the source, your knowledge is more mature, more well, better established, and less confused than if you go to the lesser. This is of course not always possible, but what he means is as much as possible. If you can get to a higher person for sake seeking the knowledge, don't go to the one who is lesser than him. And as I'm not sure if this is authentic, could be. He brings a hadith here which says that إِنَّ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ أَن يُلْتَمَسَ الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ الْأَصَاغِرِ. There are some other hadith which are close to it in meaning, that are authentic. He says one of the signs of the hour that is that the knowledge will be sought from al-asagir, from the lesser people. Okay, so this is basically the whole book. I summarized it to you, and this gives you 8 important rules for seeking the knowledge. As I said, there are other things that we covered here which are not covered in that book, and we still got about 5 or 7 minutes that we can deal with them. But first I want to mention something that, subhanallah, it's we find that people are very careless about, and I find this very depressing actually, that in our time the people do not have respect of the knowledge and of the teachers who teach them the knowledge. They have totally no respect of that. And compared to what was the practice of the Salaf radiallahu anhum. And as is mentioned here, by one of the Salaf, his name was Ishaq al-Shahidi. He said, I used to see Yahya al-Qattan pray Asr. Yahya al-Qattan was one of the great scholars of the early Salaf. He was teacher of Yahya al-Qattan. He was a teacher of Imam Ahmad and a large number of scholars of that caliber, you know. So Imam Yahya al-Qattan, he saw him pray Asr, then sit towards the minaret of the masjid, puts his back, sits down, and you know, supports his back to the minaret of the masjid. And in front of him, he would see Ali ibn al-Madini. Ali ibn al-Madini is a very famous scholar. Al-Shadhakuni, Amr ibn Ali, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Yahya ibn Ma'in. You know, some of the greatest scholars of the time, يَسْأَلُونَهُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. They would stand around him. He's sitting and his back to the wall. And they are standing up around him. وَهُمْ قِيَامٌ عَلَىٰ أَرْجُلِهِمْ. Standing up on their feet. إِلَىٰ أَن تَحِينَ صَلَاةُ الْمَغْرِبِ. Until the Maghrib time comes, لَا يَقُولُ لِوَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ اجلس. And he would not tell any one of them, sit down. وَلَا يَجْلِسُونَ هَيْبَةً لَهُمْ وَأَعْظَامًا. And they would not dare to sit down because of that they have so much awe for him in their hearts and respect. So, I mean, we are not asking for, of course, we are not saying that the people should have, should be excessive in their respect and, respect towards the knowledge and the people who teach them the knowledge. But there should be some respect. And unfortunately, we see that this is totally lacking in our time. Totally lacking in our time. So, Allah musta'an, you know, the people, maybe I should stop this a little bit here, so we not lose the time. Where the pause key here? I forgot where it is. Attacking his teacher and saying things against him. When he, as is said, they did not crack out of the or their egg has not cracked yet. They did not get out of their egg yet, like, you know, the chick comes out of its egg, and they start attacking their teachers and being rude and disrespectful to them and so on. Allahu musta'an. So what basically what this book mentions is the adab, the book by Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, the adab that the student of knowledge should have in himself, within himself, and in seeking the knowledge. And, you know, for those who want to see, to listen to a detailed discussion of these adab, you can go to the tapes, because, as I said, this is the last of a set of four tapes, total of 4 hours, about 8 lectures, because each lecture was 30 minutes long. And you can hear in detail about these characters or etiquettes. But basically what we said is that, first of all, some of it we have already said, first of all, that seeking the knowledge is a ibadah. Seeking the knowledge, we have to remember, is a ibadah, and therefore a ibadah should be performed according to the conditions of the ibadah, which is that it should be with ikhlas, with sincerity, as we just said, and it should be according to the guidance of the Salaf. According to the guidance, so our seeking of knowledge should be according to the way that our great scholars of the past have learned and have sought the knowledge. In seeking the knowledge, one should be fearful of Allah, watchful of Him, always realizing that Allah is close to him and observing him and observing every single action of him. Be humble, be satisfied. Be in his appearance, in his manners, in his practice, always adorn himself with the appearance of knowledge. That you are a student of knowledge, so you should have the appearance, the tranquility, the character of a person who is seeking the knowledge. He should stay away from mixing with the people who would not help him seek the knowledge, or people who are usually involved in futile matters. He should be kind to people. He should make sure that the knowledge that he seeks is a correct knowledge. He should put a lot of effort into seeking the knowledge. He should be serious about seeking the knowledge. He should record the knowledge as much as he can by writing, and you know, organize his writing and so on, so that it'll be, because by writing he can remember things better and he can refer to them faster. He should memorize. He should always turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla and ask Him for help in seeking the knowledge. He should be truthful, and he should benefit from the good times of seeking the knowledge, like the early morning, and the times when he doesn't have to be involved with other things, so there are less distractions. And he should ask questions, good questions that will help him learn more. He should review the knowledge with other people, with the students of knowledge, and so on. So as I said, these are some of the things that we have discussed in some details in the past, and that was meant to be just a quick review. So inshallah I refer you to the previous tapes for more in-depth discussion of this. And by this I would say that we are done with this subject for now, and inshallah we can use the time that we use for it in the future for some other subjects. Allahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. One was going to be the